Grease Slug, Humboldt's New Rock.
It is 9:02. I'm John Matthews. This is 94.1 KSLG FM, Hydesville, Eureka Arcata, streaming and podcasting at KSLG.com. Several weeks ago, earlier this month, on September 3rd, the Ferndale football team, they played McClyman's, a school out of the Bay Area. And apparently at some point there was an insult that was lobbed at a player from someone on the sidelines. And the player said that it involved the N-word, and the player's grandfather eventually wrote into the Ferndale Enterprise, and that's how I heard about this. And he, of course, was disappointed by this, as you can imagine, and was hoping for an apology. And specifically, I'll just read from that letter for a second if you're unfamiliar with what is happening here. And by the way, to read about this, the Ferndale Enterprise, they've been covering it, through a website that we produce here, thelostcoastoutpost.com. You can read quite a bit about it and listen to some earlier interviews. But according to the grandfather, who is a lawyer out of Oakland, Stephen Walters, "I was too far away to hear what happened, but after the game, my grandson told me that a Ferndale fan or fans had said words to the effect of, 'Get up, you effing N, and take your N-A back to Oakland.' I'm certain that this happened." And at some point, Mike Martin, someone who is from the area and goes to the games quite a bit, and even played for Ferndale years ago. And I know Mike. I've seen him around town over the years. And he called me up, and he said that he was in the vicinity of this incident, and he said rather plainly that while some insults were lobbed at the player, nothing racial was said. And then eventually Stephen Walters came on after that, and again, he's the attorney, the grandfather of the player, and he said that he still believed that something was said because he believes his grandson, and then based on statements that Mike Martin had made and other information that he received after the event, he still maintained that this happened. He believed it strongly. Now, Mike Martin called me yesterday and said that he wanted to come on to respond to what Stephen Walters had said, and I said, okay, so I've arranged for that now. And on the phone is Mike Martin and also Stephen Walters. So good morning to you both.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
And Mike, if I could begin with you, since you're the one who got a hold of me. I did eventually get a copy of a tape of the game, and I looked at it, and nothing really can be seen there. I do see someone say something to the player, number 7, when he is down on the ground. But it's very quick, and I don't really... Obviously, there's no audio, so I don't know what really happened there, but it's clearly something may have been said to the player. I'm not sure what that might have been. But the thing that struck me was that when you and I had spoken on the air a while ago, you had said there were 3 people in that neighborhood. And, Mike, there are more than 3 people in that neighborhood of the event.
Well, you take a look at the film. I've reviewed the film many times because Carolyn Titus wanted me to pick myself out in the picture. And you look at the film, and all 3 of us are where I stated we were. If you look behind the gentleman with the red coat and a clipboard, I'm standing right there. But the angle of the camera makes it look like he's right in front of me, and actually he's about 10 feet to my left. To my left and 10 feet in front of me. So if you look down and take from where Stacy Townsend was at the end zone, and then the next person, when the touchdown scored, it raises his hands, that's Tony Enos. And then I'm the next person in line, and we're the only 3 really standing right at the end zone. If you take a look beyond that, there's a gentleman with a backpack that walked past, and that was Mike Lorenzo.
Okay, and just to recap, for those who are not familiar with the story, Mike, just so we can keep this on track, I just have to sort of structure it in a certain way. But just for those who don't know what we're talking about, now, again, I read earlier what is alleged to have been said using the N-word, but you're saying that that was not the case, that no N-word was used, and you were there to actually hear this, and that's your story today, and you said that you wanted to come on and respond to what Stephen Walters had said, and what have you been thinking about?
Well, you know, some of the statements Mr. Walter did make, for instance, why I didn't go on to do the interview with him at that time was I think that the quote in the paper said that it stated I had nothing more to say, but the thing that was edited out was, and I believe you can back this up because I said it to you, was just be a he say, I say situation, and I couldn't see where an encounter like that would do either one of us any good. As it turns out, I think it worked out well for you that you had me on, and then you had Mr. Walters on to respond without any arguing or any he said, I said situation.
Okay. Well, I don't know that it didn't necessarily work out either good nor bad for me. It was just I had you both on to provide your versions of events. But what
thing that I'm sorry, George, the okay. thing that I just had a problem with were the little comments. Like, I think that speaks volumes about what really happened. You know, that was a comment made by Mr. Walters, and that doesn't explain anything. It explains that I didn't want to get on the phone and argue with the gentleman.
Now, when it comes to actually arguing with him, Stephen, is that this is something that you were hoping to accomplish that day? I mean, you were just coming on to sort of explain your grandson's side of the story.
Well, that's exactly what I was doing, John. I had responded to your comment on the show that you would like to get Mr. Martin on with my grandson, and I said that really wasn't appropriate because he's a 17-year-old kid, and but that I would be glad to talk about it, and you asked if I would come on with Mr. Martin, and Mr. Martin declined, but I was on to respond to some of the statements he made and to tell my grandson's side of the story. I'm still disappointed he wouldn't go on that. I intended to have a dialogue, just as I hope we could have today. Didn't see it as an argument at all.
And when it comes to that dialogue, what is it that you were hoping to say to Mike?
Well, one thing I would like to say to Mr. Martin is, we can talk about the facts, and I'm certainly willing to talk about that tape because it shows a lot of things that are very consistent with what my grandson said. Unfortunately, the tape does not go on and show the entire incident in terms of other people talking to him or Mr. Townsend making the statement again. But what I would like to find out from Mr. Martin is whether, even if he is not willing to admit that what my grandson said happened actually happened, if he's willing to agree that there is very much of a perception problem based on this incident, the incident at Salesian, and other incidents I've been told have occurred in the past with Ferndale fans and at Ferndale games, to stand up and say, we have a problem here, we have at the very least an image problem, and to take a stand that sort of behavior of taunting other players, that if there are racial slurs and epithets, as I still believe happened, going on, they will not be tolerated, and that people on the sidelines will in fact police themselves and tell people to cut it out, tell people to stop taunting kids on the sideline. If he would be willing to make that statement publicly, because I would think, I understand that he's a leader of these boosters or superfans or whatever they're called, he would be willing to make that sort of statement so that progress can be made in making sure that it never, ever happens again.
Now, Mike, that's the thing that I've always had a bit of a problem with, that when you and I were talking initially, you'd said that you may have said something to the player, and what was that exactly?
My statement to the player was, you missed it by 2 inches, 7.
Okay. All right. And now, do you perhaps regret that at this point, or is that something that...
I don't regret that at that point. Okay. If that was what set him off, then, you know, I don't believe that's a taunt at all. You missed it by 2 inches, 7. Oh, gee, you know, how can that hurt? How can that hurt a kid's feelings? I mean, what the whole subject is here is the accusations of racial slurs. That's what we're dealing with here, the accusations. And that, I was also at that Salesian game, And there was a kid on their team that got really upset, but I'd never heard until this situation came down, I'd never heard anything, as most people did, about any allegations at this Legion game. And as far as tarnishing our reputation, it's allegations like this that tarnish a fan's reputation, the school's reputation, and the whole town and community's reputation. And that's what I'm here to address, is the fact there were no racial slurs. And, you know, I've been involved with coaching for a long time. My first team that I ever coached, I was 17 years old. I've done nothing but teach kids how to play the game, teach kids how to morally react, teach kids a lot of different things. Now, to be the head of this super fans, I'm the head of nothing. I put on a gem and mineral show that raises money through silent auctions for the school. That's all I do for the school, other than being a fan of all sports.
Well, sure, and I guess if we could just stick to the idea of what Stephen is saying, that the taunts to the players, that's inappropriate.
Okay, let's stick with the racial slur allegations.
Okay, all right. So
that's what we're dealing with right here.
Okay,
racial slur.
All right, I understand that, Mike. I understand
of
that.
Which were not made.
Then that's what you're saying. I understand that.
They weren't made within earshot of anybody within the end zone, and if you look at those films, there were a lot of players still on the field. Unlike what Mr. Walters said, there were a lot of players on that field because they were waiting there for the extra point. They were not 30 yards away; they were about 20 feet away from his grandson. There were also television person from Eureka filming right there. There was also an employee of the high school taking photographs right there. There were also two officials right in the vicinity, and if anything that lengthy, that ugly, and that nasty was said, somebody would have heard it. There's no doubt about it. You take a look at those films again and again and again, and I have to agree with Mr. Walters. I wish it would have gone a little bit
Me too.
Further. To see the reaction. I really do.
Okay, Mike, hang on. Mike, slow down. Okay, yes, Mr. Walters. Yes, Stephen, go.
On this. One of the fascinating things is that the officials have never denied that it happened. They said that the words, they didn't hear the exact words. They have said that the fans are not their responsibility, it's the school's responsibility. They have said they didn't want to throw a flag on fans on the sideline because that would be unfair to the Ferndale team, which I agree. And there also had been an earlier sideline penalty, and my understanding is that Coach Jorgensen would have to be thrown out of the game. They did not throw a flag on my grandson, who was supposedly cursing and threatening fans. None of the other people whom Mr. Martin identified have come forward and said absolutely nothing of that sort was said. In fact, Mr. Martin was adamant on your show that Stacy Townsend said nothing whatsoever. Turns out he is on film saying something directly to my grandson. And so, as I say, I mean, we can debate these facts, and I think that overwhelmingly they will support what my grandson said every time. But what I'm asking right now is whether Mr. Martin is willing to stand up for his community, for the folks on that sideline, and say whether or not this happened exactly as my grandson says, that we won't tolerate on that sideline, we will not taunt other players, whether or not we use racial epithets, and racial epithets are not tolerated in our community and won't be used, rather than sort of circling the wagons and saying people are being unfair to our community, because where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's interesting, in two consecutive games, end of last year and first of this year, against schools with a number of African-American players, these sorts of incidents have come up. So what I'm asking Mr. Martin is to stand up and say, we don't tolerate that in Ferndale. It is wrong, and we won't do it, and we will call out people who do.
Mike?
I will say that we do not tolerate that in Ferndale. We do not tolerate that in Ferndale. We have never tolerated that in Ferndale. We've always policed our own sidelines in Ferndale. We have never, as far as I have ever been to any game, anybody used any racial slurs in Ferndale. That's why the allegations that have been made, and I've got to tell you, Mr. Walters, I after reading your comments in this publication, like I concocted a story. Are you very sure that I concocted a story? Are you sure, or is this whole thing going by the hearsay of your 17-year-old grandson?
Martin, first of all, it's not hearsay because my grandson was an eyewitness. Number two, the facts that I observed at the time and the facts that have come out since about the prior history of Ferndale fans in the Salesian games and on a number of other occasions that have been recounted to me specifically, that this is not the first time. The information that come out in this film regarding the statements that you made, the information has come out from the officials about what they really did on that sideline. The fact that no one else who was there has stood up and said, confirmed what you have to say. Yes, I am absolutely certain that your statement is not consistent with the facts. I do suspect, and I give you the benefit of the doubt, that you didn't hear what was said. But I am certain, based on the facts that they have come out and the history of Ferndale fans, that it did happen. And I'm just asking you whether or not you will admit that it happened on this occasion. You will say publicly, write a letter to the editor saying that we do not tolerate this, and we will not allow anyone on that sideline to make those sorts of comments or taunt high school players from other teams. Will you do that, sir?
You have been building a case here, and there have not been many times. There was not a time at your game. And what I will do is ask you if you respect the fact that I went and had a independent lie detector test, of which I did pass.
Okay, no, Mike. Can I just ask you about that, Mike? Hang on. I just want to interrupt you for a second. So you did tell me this yesterday that you had a lie detector test taken, and what, can you explain that to me?
I had a lie detector test taken. I got a hold of an agency. I got a hold of
who is that?
That's been doing voice stress and polygraph exams since 1974. He asked me multiple questions. Multiple times. And would you like me just to read what it says?
Sure. But just to get precise about this. So you did this over the phone, and then he asked you questions, and then he evaluated your answers, and then he gave you a result. And the person's name is Joseph. What is it? Rydowski or something like that. And this is out of. Say again. What's his name?
Rydowski.
And he is with Maxim
Detector.
Okay. All right. All right. So what did he actually write to you?
Okay. The subject being examined, Michael Martin. Synopsis. On the 19th day of September 2011, Michael Martin voluntarily submitted to voice stress analysis lie detector test. The purpose of the examination was to determine if the subject had heard any racial slurs being said while he was watching a football game on Saturday, September 3rd, 2011, while the Ferndale Wildcats were hosting the McClymonds High School football team. Mr. Martin seemed concerned about the allegations, but was determined to get the truth out on the table. Excuse me. The following relevant questions were asked during the course of the examination after the above subject consented to take the exam. Relevant question number one, did you hear anyone call a player from the McClymonds High School football team by a racial slur on 9-3-2011? Subject's response, no. Relevant question number two, did you ever hear anyone refer to any player by a racial slur while at a Ferndale Wildcat football game? Subject's response, no.
Okay. Well, Mike, I'm not sure I want to go through every... I'm not sure I want to go through every question, but I mean, the bottom line is that he determined that according to you didn't hear anything racist at that time. That's what he is saying, Joseph.
He determined by his polygraph or voice stress analysis exam that I was telling the truth.
How much did you pay for that?
I don't think that's anybody's...
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, because in the event that I need some sort of lie detector...
You can pay whatever you want for them, but yeah, they do charge, and I did...
What, like $100?
Money doing this.
Okay. And why did you feel the need to go out and get this voice stress test?
For this very reason, because I'm tired, this should be put to sleep, nothing happened, and for the allegations to be cast aspersions towards me in the interviews, no different than what the 17-year-old grandson did towards the Ferndale sidelines. There was nothing said. If I had heard anything said, I would have taken that person out of the game. You know, I have been a fan for a long time. I feel that I'm a representative of that school. When someone in the paper asked that the people step up, I stepped up. Why did I step up? To tell the truth. I didn't step up to cover anybody's ass. That's not my business. It's not my responsibility. My whole thing is, if someone's going to call me a liar, I'm going to prove to them I'm not, because I'm not a liar. There were no racial slurs.
Well, sure. But by the way, I'm not sure that this test necessarily establishes that. I mean, it's sort of like a curious development for me. I don't know anything about this company. It seems a little odd that they could tell over the phone you're not lying. And by the way, I'm not saying you are lying, Mike. Mike, just let me finish. I'm not saying I'm not saying you're lying. I just think the test is a little strange. That's all.
Questions, he would even go to court if needed.
Yes.
As soon as I get you the information, yes, you're
okay.
More than welcome
great.
To call.
Okay, you can email it to me.
And talk to you.
I will do that just because I find it interesting. Okay.
I am not a forensic scientist.
I understand. Like,
I get it. Mr. Walters probably knows much better than I do.
Okay, and
John,
yes,
could I
yes, Stephen.
Respond quickly. I mean, two quick points. The reality is that voice stress and lie detector tests are considered unreliable and are not admissible in any court in the country. Number two, taking this test, particularly one over the phone, number two, even taking this at face value, you put your finger on it. Mr. Martin was asked repeatedly, did you hear, have you ever heard? And the gentleman who was listening to him on the phone determined that he was not lying when he said, I have never heard. That's not the point. He's never been accused of making a racial statement to my grandson. Somebody did. What my concern about Mr. Martin is that a number of his statements, such as Stacy Talenton said nothing to my grandson.
That's correct. That's correct. He said nothing to your grandson.
Well, he's
that
on
is
the
a correct
he,
statement.
He,
that
he
is not.
He is on the film, Mr. Martin, saying something to my grandson as he.
He's on the film, jumping up and down when Ferndale scored, and then he's clapping. And what could he possibly be saying that the people right in front of him didn't hear if they were racial slurs?
He said
absolutely nothing to your grandson.
He clearly said something to my grandson.
And I'm telling you right now, There's just way too much crosstalk.
Mike, hang on a second. Here's the thing. I was not there. Mike, slow down. So I just want just to establish that I don't know what really happened, and I have no way of knowing. I've heard what you've said, Mike, and of course I've listened to you, Mr. Walters. But I mean, it could be misunderstanding. It may not be. I don't know. I was not there. I mean, is there a chance in your mind, Mike, that this may have happened? But you're saying absolutely not. And just keep
There's
it to just give it like a one word
no
answer, okay?
Way
no
happened.
Way in your mind, okay?
No way it
All right.
Happened.
And now, Stephen, in your mind, is there a chance this is a misunderstanding, or you're very confident that this did in fact happen?
John, the more Mr. Martin talks and the more facts that come out, the more certain I become that this actually happened. But I'm not asking him to admit it. I'm just asking him simply to write a letter to the editor, to something of that sort, to make clear that the taunting behavior, the taunting of other players, is going to stop on that sideline, and that no racial epithets will ever be used on anyone that by anyone on that sideline. Make the statement publicly. Don't just make it to people who happen to be listening to a radio program on Thursday morning. Write a letter to the editor so the whole community can know where you stand, Mr. Martin, rather than simply denying things that are plainly showed on tape, like Stacey Townsend saying
did
something
you
to my
have,
grandson.
Did you have audio on your tape, Mr. Walters?
No, he did not.
Making an assumption that he said something to your grandson.
Well, sure.
He didn't say anything like "good job, offense," "good job, cats." If he says anything at all, did he say anything to your grandson, or is that just another made-up little concoction?
Well,
you accuse me of concocting a story. I'm accusing you of doing the very same. And you know what? I was standing right there, so I don't care. I don't care whether you believe me or not. What I have done is take steps to make my, testimony or whatever you want to call it, more believable. And if you state that this would not hold up in court, why do they have them? Why do they have them? Why have people been convicted on lie detectors?
No, but I mean,
no one's ever been convicted on lie detectors.
It's very unreliable. I mean, really, that's just common knowledge. But so I know.
You know what?
But Mike, here's what I want to do.
I'm sorry,
I want to actually bring this back together
by hearsay.
Okay, but hang on. Can we just bring this back to a world where? Yes, Mike. Okay, but just hang on a second. I mean, for me, I would like, clearly, Mike, you are saying this didn't happen. I understand that, and so, but at this point, I think the way to resolve it would just be, all right, so in the future, this will never be tolerated. Not that it happened this time, but of course it won't be tolerated. And if something does in fact happen of this nature, it will be dealt with swiftly and properly. And this is just we're not a racist community, so it's time to move on. And is there?
There you go, John.
And
we're not a racist community.
I know that.
And this,
but I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
For me to stand up.
But I'm asking you.
Responsibility of 200 to 300 fans on my shoulders and say, oh yeah, we will never have an idiot or ignorant person on the field that'll ever say anything. So if it comes down 5 years from now, oh, Mike Martin said that would never happen. You know what?
Mike,
I can't guarantee what anybody.
Well, of course not. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, but since you're heavily involved in this,
and what I can tell you is there were no racial slurs made on that field on that day, and that I can deny that. I can deny that, and Mr. Walters can say he's certain it's happened. But you know what? I was there.
Okay, but
I was right there.
So
he's still going on someone else's hearsay. And you can point out anything you want on that sideline, and you did not hear, and neither did your grandson hear any racial slurs or anything.
Well, as far as you know.
Sure,
as far as you know. See,
I got your grandson. Out of the three people that were standing right there, the person that said something, and myself and Stacy was the biggest, and he was there. He was the most obvious. And your grandson said, I will get you, you MF, right to him. And the reason Stacy lifted up his hands and said it wasn't me was for the kid that said if this is what your grandson heard, the kid said, keep your head down, Seven. It's a long way home, or you're going home.
Okay.
That's all that was said, and that immediately after that was said, the kid reacted, got up, the officials were holding him while he was still pointing at Stacy, said, I will get you.
All right, Mike, at this point we're going in circles. What? Mike, at this point we're going in circles, and I have to wrap it up in some way that's satisfactory, but he has asked that you perhaps write a letter to the Ferndale Enterprise and just, of course, lay out the idea that this is not going to be tolerated in the future if and I realize your position that it didn't happen. So is that something you can
do,
Mike?
Hear me?
Excuse me?
I've ever been tolerated at Ferndale.
Okay. All right. Now back to you, Stephen.
Tolerated at Ferndale.
Stephen, okay, now hang on, Mike, because I do have to wrap this up.
I will continue not to be tolerated at Ferndale.
I got that. Okay. Now, Stephen, I'm sure that's not satisfactory to you, or
Of course not, John. I mean, again, where there is smoke, there is certainly fire, and there are too many incidents. There are too many reports of this sort of thing happening with Ferndale fans. All I'm asking Mr. Martin to do is to say whether or not this happened and just make a public statement right to the editor of the Enterprise, as I did, and said, you know, whatever happened, it's very unfortunate. We will not taunt players on the other team, and we certainly, racial epithets will not be tolerated. Of course you can't control everyone on that sideline, but you can get them to leave.
All right, how about that? No more taunting.
Yeah,
how about no more taunting? No more taunting. All right.
Guys over there would have made a racial slur. Like I have already written, Caroline, she's the editor, Mr. Walters. Like I've already written her, we would have taken care of it. And she does have a record of the email I've already sent her. It wasn't for the letter to the editor. It was a more personal thing because she was looking for me in the film so she could pick where I was in the film. So we've sent a couple emails back and forth. And I pretty much told her she has every right if you want to talk to her about what I said on the email to her, Mr. Walters.
All right.
Will you write a letter to the editor condemning that sort of conduct and saying it won't be tolerated, including the taunting of players on another team?
Yes or no, Mike? Yes or no?
It's never been a problem.
Okay, but just to answer the question. Just answer the question. Are you going to write a letter to Caroline saying?
I'm going to write what I feel to the editor of that newspaper. I'm not going to be told by someone else what they want me to put in.
We're not building bridges here, Mike. I mean, you're kind of. I mean, can we not end on a confrontational note, if possible? If possible. All right.
I will do what I feel is right, and if it's not good enough for Mr. Walters, then it's just not good enough. I will put something in the paper about how this has gone too far and how allegations like this tarnish the community and tarnish everything. But, you know, like I said, I cannot guarantee that there isn't going to be some ignorant ass out on the field that it'll yell.
Well, sure,
something.
No one will know.
Now, I'm not going to guarantee that.
Well, no one can, Mike. And, Mike, all right, I've got to go, but I think you should look into trying to get your money back from Joseph over at Maxim Security. I hope you didn't pay too much money for that.
Maybe you ought to look into...
I will, but I already know that. I mean, this guy's
into what it entails. Give him a call and find out.
I will. I'm very curious about voice stress analysis, but it seems a little shady.
Internet.
All right. All right, Mike, thank you very much for coming on today. I appreciate it. And also to Stephen Walters. He is an attorney down in, of course, the Bay Area. And I don't think I resolved anything here this morning, but... If you'd like to read more about it, of course, Ferndale Enterprise, Caroline, she'll have more information about this, probably an upcoming paper, but also through the Lost Coast Outpost, you can see what has happened in the past, in addition to finding a clip of this later on this morning.